Good morning. We want to welcome everyone to our Sunday morning worship service here at Beach Hill. We want to especially welcome our visitors, and we invite you back each and every opportunity you may have to come visit us and worship with us. We also want to welcome everyone who is worshiping with us by Zoom. We have really enjoyed the opportunity to minister to folks through Zoom, so we certainly acknowledge you and look forward to your being able to return. We want to remind everyone our Sunday evening worship service here begins at 6 o'clock p.m. and our midweek Bible study will be Wednesday at 7 o'clock p.m. This, of course, is Memorial Day weekend. We want to take a moment to pause and remember those who have served our country. We thank those of this congregation who have been servicemen and women, and we want to remember those of our nation and this congregation and our community who have served. Freedom is not free. We wouldn't have the opportunity to gather here to worship here without molestation or interference, but for that great sacrifice. So we certainly remember our veterans this weekend. We have an area-wide youth night tonight at Chapman Church of Christ. All of our youth are invited. The speaker is Donnie DeBoard, and our church bus will leave at 5:15. So all the youth are invited. Please get here before 5:15 so that you will be able to be transported with our entire group. The summer teaching quarter begins next Sunday, June 5th. Our teachers will rotate on this day. The teacher supplies are available in the literature room. Please see Ryan or Winston if you have any questions. We want to remind everyone that our Vacation Bible School begins June 12th through the 15th, which is just around the corner, so we look forward to that. There will be a baby shower honoring Amanda Simpson on June 5th at 2 o'clock p.m. at Beach Hill, so at our fellowship hall. So everyone, all the ladies are invited. And it's our understanding that that young man is home in our community. So another Simpson, they continue to grow. On our sick list, we want to remember Samantha Weathersby, who's been diagnosed with stage 1 breast cancer. She'll have her surgery on June 9th. We want to remember Tommy Simpson, who's continuing to undergo tests and procedures. And he will have a course of treatment that we want to continue to pray for him. Good to see you this morning, Doc. And I want to remember my friend, John Champion, who you will remember I've known since I was 16, who's the district attorney out of Hernando, who is fighting a brain tumor. He had COVID, went to see his nephew graduate in Atlanta, caught COVID and had a stroke. So he was hospitalized and I just received a text while we were in Sunday school saying that he was released from the hospital, but he'll have to have 24-hour care. So please remember them. We also want to remember Cynthia Simpson's sister, Jolene Webb, who is at a nursing home rehabilitation center. She's had spine surgery. She's had pins, rods, all sorts of things. And she is in Dixon, Tennessee, and she needs our prayers. So please remember Jolene in your daily prayers. Also, Miss Shirley Estes is still recovering from a fall. So keep Miss Shirley in your thoughts and prayers. Please pray for Theo Smith, who's the son of Mallory and Winston, and they'll be having test run over the next few weeks. The specialist and the surgery team will finalize a plan by the end of June for how they will approach our situation with Theo. So please keep Theo, Mallory, and Winston in your prayers during these upcoming weeks. Our Ukraine mission, please bring all the stuffed animals and baby throws and blankets to the fellowship hall for the Ukraine mission work by the evening service tonight. We believe that's our deadline. So we ask all the ladies to get that together. We also want to share with you the New Albany Church of Christ will have their Vacation Bible School June 5th through the 8th at 6:30 p.m. there on at 511 Highway 15 South there in New Albany, Mississippi. So everyone is invited. We have a couple of thank you notes. Beach Hill family, thank you so much for the Bible and for all the love and support you've given me. Thank you for including me in senior night and making me feel a part of this church, even though I didn't grow up here. Your love and support means so much to me. Love, Ruby Jones. And we have a letter. Dear Beach Hill, your words have comforted us. Your support has strengthened us, and your love has sustained us. We extend our deepest thanks to all of you for your many acts of kindness during our great sadness. We appreciate it more than words can express, and it will always be remembered. The family of Gail Hobson Winter. Tonight, the men who will serve will be Stacy Simmons, who will be directing the singing. Graydon Grady will have our opening prayer. Dr. Simpson will have our closing prayer. This morning, Bruce Ault will deliver our scripture reading. Our opening prayer will be by Brother Mike Griffin, and our closing prayer by Dan Harrell. Brother King McCarver will deliver the message of the hour, and we ask you to get a songbook or look at our screens as Will Simpson will lead us in singing.
First song this morning will be number 876. We'll sing the first and last verse, 876.
"'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that thou art with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more."
Next song will be number 237. Sing all three verses, 237.
"Beyond this land of parting, losing and leaving, far beyond the losses, darkening this, and far beyond the taking and the bereaving, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond, so fair and bright. Land beyond, summer land, God is its light. Oh, happy summer land. this land of waiting, seeking and sighing, far beyond the sorrows darkening this sand, far beyond the pain and sickness and dying, lies the summer land of bliss. Land beyond so fair and bright, land beyond where is no night. Summer land, God is its light. Oh, happy summer land of bliss.
Psalm before our scripture reading prayer this morning, read number 575. Sing the first and last verse, 575.
O thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of mercy never ceasing, call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me
Scripture reading this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 2, beginning in verse 14. And here James is speaking of the evidence of works and faith. What does it profit, my brethren, if a man says he has faith but has not works? Can his faith save him? If a brother or sister is ill clad and in lack of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what does it profit? So faith by itself, that it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Do you want to be shown, you shallow man, that faith apart from works is barren? Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered his son Isaac upon the altar? And then concluding in verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so faith apart from works is dead.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for being here this morning in the assembly. We're so thankful for your mercy, your love, and your grace. We're so thankful for your presence here. We pray that each and everything that we do here at Beach Hill will be in accordance to thy will. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of many that are sick that were just mentioned a few minutes ago by Tony. We pray for all of these. We pray that you will put your healing and loving arms around them and those that minister to them. And if it be your will, that they might receive a full measure of health so that they might be able to be back here at worship with us. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the country in which we live. We're so thankful for those who paid the ultimate sacrifice as they served this country. They gave their lives in defense of it. We pray for their families during this Memorial Day. Pray for all those who have served in any capacity. Heavenly Father, we're mindful of the one that gave his life so that we might have a choice where we will spend eternity. We're so thankful for Jesus and the life that he lived, the example that he set before us. We pray that we will always look to your word and to your guidance through your word so that the church may remain strong and faithful. Heavenly Father, we'd like to pray for our upcoming Bible school. Pray for the teachers that teach. Pray that they will teach the lessons that are needed, that the children will learn from this, and it will help them and guide them in their everyday walks of life. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for each and every one here at Beach Hill. We have so many people that have talent. We know that they work hard each and every day, those behind the scenes to promote our Bible school programs, the Sunday school and Wednesday night programs. We're so thankful for each and every one of them. Continue to bless them. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for our leadership here. We want you to continue to bless them and their families as they lead us. We pray that they will lean on your word heavily in each and every decision that they make. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for each and every member. We know that we're in your army, the Lord's army. We pray that you will continue to bless us as we continue to study your word, take it into our hearts, and be able to preach and teach it to those in this lost and dying world. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for all those who preach the gospel. Just a few minutes, King will be coming before us to present another lesson of thy word. We know that he's prepared for this, that he studied. We pray that we will always have our minds clear and our hearts pure as we hear these words, and that they will move us to do those things that are right in thy sight. Heavenly Father, we're also mindful of those in recent weeks and months who've lost their family members. We want to continue to pray for them and be with them. Heavenly Father, we know that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from your mouth. We pray that we will be like those in the scriptures that were taught, that studied the word diligently each and every day. We pray that this will be said of us. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for Christ, his death on the cross, that we might have that hope of eternal life. We pray that we will take advantage of the gospel, continue to read it and study it, put it into our hearts and minds. Heavenly Father, we know that we are weak and sinful. We know that we sometimes sin, whether it be willful sin or those sins that we commit that we don't know about. Heavenly Father, we pray that you will forgive us of these sins. Please guide, guard, and direct us throughout the remainder of this service. If we've been found faithful in the end, just please give us that home in heaven with thee. This is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.
Song before the lesson this morning will be number 527. Sing the first and last verse, 5, 2, 7.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul,
with my soul,
it is well, it is well with my soul. And Lord, haste the day when the faith shall be tried.
Invitation song this morning will be number 420, first, second, and last verse, 420.
The sound of this congregation singing those beautiful hymns is really thrilling to me, and I can stand in the foyer and get a survey of who all's here and hear your singing. And it's quite inspirational to me, and I'm grateful to be here today. I'm thankful you're here. We have visitors among us, and we're glad that you have the opportunity and have chosen to be with us today. Our scripture reading before we enter into our study together is from Romans chapter 11. Appreciate Bruce's reading from James chapter 2, and Mike's prayer, and Will directing us in these songs. And we continue our worship toward God as we hear his word and think about it together. At the end of Romans chapter 11 is a word of further praise toward God as Paul acclaims God's wondrous wisdom and knowledge as evident in the gospel plan of salvation. Romans chapter 11, beginning at verse 33. Oh, the depth, said Paul, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways past tracing out. For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed or repaid to him? For of him, that is of God, of him, through him, to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. Here is one of those passages in Scripture that casts light on what precedes and on what follows. It's a pivotal passage in this place in Romans. Paul has written nearly 11 chapters about God's eternal purpose in Christ Jesus, as he spoke of it in Ephesians chapter 3. Purpose worked out through the ages and brought to fulfillment in Jesus Christ and now proclaimed to the world. Here's the mind of God that has come to us in the gospel of Christ. And it is a mind of great power and wisdom and knowledge, and as Paul has brought to our attention, of great love, unfathomable love. That God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. And so there is an atonement for us in the blood of Christ. If we respond to it in faith, trusting in what God has done for us through Jesus, that we may be redeemed. For this is the redemption through Jesus Christ that God has presented to the world. And Paul has been speaking about that and the various implications of that truth as it affects all people, because there is truly one way. And through the marvel of God's work, God has called to himself one people from a variety of backgrounds. And some of those backgrounds are backgrounds of people who were once hostile to each other. There were barriers between those peoples. And yet God, through the power of the gospel, has called to himself a people representing those various backgrounds. One people brought together through the gospel. And then there were other barriers along the way, barriers of difficulty for God to overcome in his wisdom and knowledge to bring to pass his plan. Many kinds of difficulty. Here is where the knowledge of the Old Testament is beneficial to a person, and Paul certainly had that knowledge. He has some understanding of what God had accomplished through the ages in order to bring to pass this purpose of redemption and its fulfillment in Christ. And with that knowledge, with some understanding of these things as God has revealed them through Scripture, Paul speaks with a word of praise here. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. It's with amazement that Paul is speaking here. And there are times in our worship that we sing songs that express amazement. And a song doesn't have to have that word for it to express amazement. O thou fount of every blessing, as we sang in that beautiful hymn this morning, one of the great hymns of all time. Every line of it rich with meaning and truth. Some songs are rather simple, and there's nothing wrong with being simple, but we're thankful for those who, out of the depth of their understanding of the Bible, wrote songs with depth to them. O thou fount of every blessing. We sang that, and you ought to read that song when you think about what we're thinking about today in this sermon and Paul's words of praise here, the depth of the riches of both the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And there's humility in these words of Paul. How unsearchable are his judgments, his ways untraceable. What person was standing there along the way as God worked out his purpose in the world and said, oh, I see where you're going with that, God. I can see how that's going to develop. Yeah, that's plain as day to me. That's how this is going to work. Nobody. Nobody could see it. Nobody could understand that, how God was going to work all that out. For instance, God had said to Abraham, and Isaac, thy seed shall be called. Now, Isaac had Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons, and they had a host of people. And as Moses said about them one time after leading them for about 40 years, you've been a stiff-necked and stubborn people from the day I knew you. How was God going to work out his plan in this world through such a people? And what Moses said was borne out in later history with all the unfaithfulness and rebellion of Israel toward God. God, every day, early in the morning, sending out prophets to them, pleading with them to be faithful. And they turned the back toward God instead of their hearts. But God did work out his purpose, just as he said he would. And that's just one thing that could be brought forward that Paul is talking about here. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord? Who has been his counselor? Who's first given God something so that he obligates God to pay him back? Who helped God? What person made any contribution to the plan of God from his own mind and effort that helped God with this? Nobody. And thus Paul acknowledges in this word of praise, it's all from you, God, all of it. And it's all through your work that it was accomplished. And it's all going to come back to you just as you planned it. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Now, that is worship, and that is the mind of worship. It comes out of an understanding of the truth, out of adoration and appreciation toward God based on that understanding of truth, reverence before God, a sense of awe and wonder. That's the heart that can worship, as worship ought to be offered. And that will affect the person's life to understand these things with such appreciation and wonder. The wisdom and the knowledge of God. Consider how these words of praise affecting worship affect the person's life as a Christian. For example, our understanding of the providential care of God and his plans for our lives. Consider a few passages from this very letter. Chapter 1, Paul in addressing the saints at Rome, chapter 1 and verse 6. He spoke of God's purpose worked out through his emissaries of the gospel to bring people in all nations to the obedience of faith, chapter 1, verse 5. And then verse 6, Paul said, you're among those people. That's how they had responded to the gospel and the obedience of faith. Called to be Jesus Christ, that is to be the people of Jesus Christ, to belong to Jesus Christ. That was the purpose of the call of the gospel they heard, to bring them in obedience of faith to God through Christ, a people who belong to Christ. And then in the next verse, verse 7, to all that are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, that is a special people set apart to God through the gospel, sanctified by the gospel of Christ. So we have the identification of the hearers of this letter. Now let's go from there to chapter 8 in this letter. And Paul says in chapter 8, verse 28, and we know, he said, not we guess, but we kind of have some hope it might be this way in the weakness of such a use of the word hope like that in English. He said, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. We know this, says Paul. About whom? Those who love God and who are the called. Now remember chapter 1, Paul said to them at Rome, you're called. You were called to belong to Christ. You're his people. You were called to be saints, set apart to God, sanctified to him. According to what? His purpose that he's worked out in Christ. And here is a benefit for our lives that we know about, said Paul. God is at work. This should better be translated that he works these things together. It's not that these things just happen to work together. These things work together because God is at work to make it so. All things, said Paul. Now keep that in mind, all things. Then he said in verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Again, all things. Now, who has the power to do that in the lives of people in this world but God? And who has the wisdom and the knowledge and the power to accomplish such a purpose that he can promise something like this, all things? I can give you all things through my son, and I can work all things together for your good, for those who love me and who are the called according to my purpose. Now then look at the end of the chapter, verses 38 and 39. Paul said, I am persuaded. The word means I'm confident. Based on the knowledge of these truths, what God is doing, has done, will do, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor any other, or depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Height nor depth. I don't know that Paul had in mind what we think about when we think about the highs and the lows of life, but it would be included in what he says here. Because we have some highs in life, we have some lows in life, all of us do. But I do know that this word depth is the same word he used over in Romans 11 when he praised God for the depth of the riches of his wisdom and knowledge. And how that is the source of all the blessings we have in life through Jesus Christ. And then I read in Romans chapter 8 that there is no depth that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Have you known the depths of heartbreak? I think no person in humility would say, well, I don't know the lowest depth. I hope I never know the lowest depth, but I've known some low places. Well, Paul said, should you ever know the depth, you will not experience anything that separates you from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Because there is no such place, no such experience, nor any other thing that one can experience in life, no created thing that one can encounter in life that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then at the end of this epistle in chapter 16, a triumphant note and a commendation to his readers. Chapter 16, verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Everybody knows about you, saints in Rome. You are faithful people. But how does he say it? You obey God. You're known for that. As an obedient people to God. I rejoice therefore over you, but I would have you wise to that which is good and simple to that which is evil. There were dangers that Paul had just spoken about in the preceding verses. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Paul's not talking here about the end of the world. He didn't think the end of the world was coming the next day or the next year. He's speaking about the work of God. We encounter Satan and his work many times, sometimes in surprising ways. But when we do, the power of God that is greater, the wisdom and knowledge of God in all of its depths, that has overlooked nothing and is surprised by nothing and is watchful for our lives, that God will see to it that Satan is bruised under our feet shortly. So the depth of the riches, the depth that we cannot fathom, we get some indications of it through the revelation of Scripture. It causes us to worship. It also gives us confidence in the providential care of God for our lives. Paul's talking about a plan here. And he's been speaking of that plan by revelation of God throughout this letter. Plan now fulfilled in Jesus Christ. At the end of the letter, beginning at verse 25 in chapter 16, he says, "Now to him that is able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which hath been kept in silence and through times eternal, that is long ages past, but now is manifested, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the eternal God, is made known to all the nations unto obedience of faith, to the only wise God, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever. Amen." Did you know that's another statement of praise for God? Sure it is. Paul concludes this letter with worship toward God. And he's speaking of the same thing here, but in different words that he was talking about at the end of chapter 11. It is all from God. He's worked out this plan. And what does that say to us when we come to the end of the letter? It says that there's a need for study. We should want to know as much as we can, if possible, to know what Paul knew, to give our hearts, our minds to the study of what Paul studied, that we might be able to worship, at least in some measure, like this, and live by the knowledge of these truths. Paul commended the saints at Rome in another passage back in chapter 15, verse 14. He said, "I myself am persuaded of you." That again means I'm confident of this about you, my brethren, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. These are spiritual qualities. Paul doesn't say anything at all about their status in this community around them, about their money, their material blessings. He doesn't say anything about their accomplishments in life, the education background they have, their connections in society. He compliments them for their goodness, their knowledge, their ability to serve God's purpose for each other's good in the church. So there's a need for study. I think about the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God revealed to us in Scripture to some extent, because all of it can't be given to us. It's beyond the capacity of our minds to comprehend it all. Paul said it's unsearchable. It's untraceable. But we can know it to some extent. We can learn and study what God has given us. And that ought to give us what Paul's talking about here. Character of goodness. A treasury of knowledge of God's will. And the ability to help one another. Paul said, "Of him, through him, to him are all things." He's speaking there not about the creation of the world, although that's true and Paul refers to it elsewhere. But he's speaking about this eternal purpose for our salvation. It's all from God, worked out through him, through Jesus Christ, and its purpose is to be to him. Unto him, to bring us to him. As the Hebrews writer said, to bring many sons, to bring his children to glory through Christ. The first response that a person ought to have to this, understanding it in a fundamental way, should be that I want to be in harmony with this. This is the Creator's plan for His creation. This is the Creator's purpose for human beings in this creation. This is God's eternal purpose in Jesus Christ for the redemption of sinners. How can I be in harmony with that? That is the plan, and there is no other. I want to live in this plan, and when I die, I want to be in that plan. Paul has spoken about their response to this gospel as being the obedience of faith. They believed, they obeyed God. Chapter 6, he identified that moment as when they yielded their lives to be united with Christ. Hearing the gospel, they were buried with Christ who died for them. They were raised up with Christ who arose from the dead, raised up in that baptism to a new life in Christ. Thanks be to God, said Paul, that whereas you were servants of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that teaching to which you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness, to be freed from the power and the condemnation of sin, the hopelessness of a life of sin, the deception of its fleeting pleasures, to be God's people, and to be brought home to God. If you've not yet responded to the gospel, that's what this song of invitation is about, that we're about to sing under Will's direction, to give you an opportunity to encourage you to respond even now as we stand and sing.
All things are ready. Come to the feast. Come, for the table now is spread. Ye famishing, ye weary, come, and thou shalt be
help prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper this morning, we'll sing number 107, all three verses, but we'll save the refrain for after the third verse.
This morning, we have an opportunity to take the Lord's Supper as Christians. We all know Jesus Christ. We have learned and studied, and we believe that he is the Son of God, and he gave his life on the cross for our sins, and he resurrected in the right hand of God. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus. We're thankful for your plan of salvation, that we can have forgiveness of our sins. At this time, we remember Jesus Christ and him crucified. We pray that you would bless this bread, which represents his body on the cross. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's pray again. Dear Lord, as we continue in this moment of remembrance and thankfulness of Jesus Christ, we pray that you would bless this fruit of vine, which represents Jesus' blood shed on that cross for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, we are so thankful for the opportunities that we have in this land, in this country. We're thankful for our abilities, our freedoms. We're thankful for the ones who have ensured this by giving ultimate sacrifice. We know that everything that we have and we enjoy comes from you. At this time, we have an opportunity to give back to you. We pray that we will do so with cheerful hearts and willingness, and this will be used to spread the word, to save souls, and ultimately add in heaven someday. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
We'd like to thank everyone for your presence here this morning, especially our visitors. We want you to know you're our honored guests, and we welcome you to come and worship with us in any and every opportunity that you have. We'd also like to thank King for a fine lesson this morning. Our closing song this morning will be number 904. Would you stand, please?
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Let us pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for this time that we've had to come here this morning to worship you. We pray that everything that we've said and done here this morning has been done to glorify you. Father, we ask that you be with us today. We ask that you be with those that are mentioned here this morning that need our prayers. Ask you just continue to be with them and bless them as only you know how. Be with us as we leave here this morning. Please continue to guide, guard, and direct us. And in the end, give us a home with you in heaven. Thank you most of all for your one and only Son, Jesus, who died on the cross for remission of our sins. It's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.